Scripture says, I'm about doing a new thing. But you must realize the new thing that God does is nothing like the old thing. When God does something new, it's something new. When the Scripture says, sing a new song to the Lord, he means, sing a new song to the Lord. Not how great thou art. How beautiful that is. But when God says, sing a new song to the Lord, then you start singing a new song to the Lord. You don't only read the Scripture, sing a new song to the Lord, but you open your heart to heaven and you start singing a new song to the Lord. And you know, we're all so cookie cutter. You know, we're all so alike. We all want the new thing, but we don't want the new thing unless it's done our way. But the new thing, I'm going to tell you, is the move of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit moves through messy people. They call that the incarnation. Jesus chose to become a human being, not an angel. And I'm going to tell you, if I've learned anything about human beings in all my life, I've learned one thing. We're awfully messy. There's nothing antiseptic about the human race. There's nothing antiseptic about anybody. Even the people that we think are the high-class people that, you know, they're all so beautiful. I've heard them. And they're not any more antiseptic than I am. They need him just as much as I do. Our Lord Jesus Christ committed himself to messy, messy people. They call it flesh and blood. Those 12 apostles were not people that graduated Harvard. They barely graduated fishing, for they couldn't even fish without Jesus, I tell you the truth. They were people that had absolutely nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you tonight, you have nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what you have. I don't care what I have. I'm going to tell you, we have nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we think we have is just a mirage. It's a mirage and it's not real. The only one that I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else, really. Everything else comes and goes. Everything else is like the tide, in and out. But the only thing I have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, is the Lord that before he died, after he died, his last words were, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When Jesus said that, he meant that. Power is power. I'm going to tell you, power is power. It is not something that we can take lightly. The word power in Greek is dynamos. The word comes, we have the word dynamite. You receive dynamite when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit's dynamite. And he's very, very, very choosy as to who he chooses to use. Because they're all messy people. They're the unlikely people of the world. They're the unlikely people of the church, as a matter of fact. They are the people that the world considers to be nothing. Just like Paul said to the Corinthian community. So that God may be glorified. Now let me tell you, you will receive power means that you will receive power. That's what it means. After that, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And then you shall be my witnesses. My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. My witnesses. But Jesus did not just say, go and witness. Jesus said tonight in the gospel that the church gave us, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Cast out demons and raise the dead. You proclaim the kingdom of God, not with words only, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. In the dynamite of the Holy Spirit. You proclaim the kingdom of God, not in word alone, but in word, in sacrament, and in power. In word, in sacrament, and in power. This is the will of God. It is not the will of God that the church would meet as a bunch of pew potatoes that absolutely know exactly what God is going to do tonight. Because if we know what God is going to do tonight, we'd better for us if we stayed home or went to Revere Beach and had an ice cream cone. Because you know what? God is into doing something new. He wants to shake his people up. He wants to shake us up in such a way that when we see ourselves in a year, we won't even know ourselves. That's what God is into. But I want to tell you, we fight against that. Because we know better than the Lord. We know, that's why we grow nowhere. Because we know better than the Lord. And we won't give him liberty. We won't give him liberty. You know why?
Because we want the controls. Because we have the demon of being control freaks. It's a demonic spirit that just wants to just capture. I'm not in control of what happens. I try to listen to what happens and do the best I can. Even if I have 2 tin ears. I try to listen to what's happening. But only when God is able to move by His Holy Spirit that things happen. When we went to pray over a brain-dead baby a couple of weeks ago, and they were going to pull the plug, got a call from Florida to go to the Mass General. They were going to pull the plug. I pled with the grandmother, do not pull the plug of this baby. Please give this baby 2 weeks. They said the baby will be a vegetable. The baby will be a vegetable. I said, give the baby 2 weeks, please. I said, you people are Spanish and you're poor. They want your baby dead. I said, if this was a Kennedy baby, they would be doing much more. I said, give the baby 2 weeks. We went in that hospital, we prayed, we sang, and finally I baptized that baby. I baptized people with spinal meningitis. The next day they were healed. Because the church believes, and I believe, that even infant baptism, we become children of God. But you know what? We have to say yes to God. I'm going to tell you, they wanted to pull the plug. 2 days later, the baby moved his leg and started to whimper. They still wanted to pull the plug because we live in a culture of death. That's the culture that we live in. You better know what kind of culture you live in. We live in a culture of death. And everybody is not equal. I want you to know that. The poor are not equal. Not to the church or not to the world. Because if the poor were equal to the church, we'd be opening our schools to the church, to the poor. And not to the people that can afford $5,000 tuition. That's how our schools all started. Our schools all started as Catholic schools for the poor, not for the rich. So what do we do with our Catholic schools? We educate the rich, and they become agnostics. Let me tell you. Well, anyway, that Wednesday, the baby moved his leg, and the baby whimpered. Okay. They want to pull the plug. The grandfather pulls the nutty. Spanish guy, I can just give him all the credit in the world. He starts screaming, you want to execute my grandson. You want to execute my grandson. They threw him out bodily. That was Wednesday. The next Tuesday, the baby went home, a normal baby. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. I'm going to tell you, we don't have to witness to Christ with words after a baby is raised from the dead. You don't have to witness with words, I'm going to tell you. Because the kingdom of God is upon you. You don't have to say the kingdom of God is upon you. Because you've just seen an action of the kingdom of God. You've seen the finger of God come upon a brain-dead baby that had no brain waves. And now this baby is alive and normal. That's the action of God. That's the action of the Holy Spirit. And that's the action that God wants to work through you and through me wherever we go. Because He calls us to be witnesses. And He calls us to have power. I am sick of a church that's impotent and has no power, because we have been given the power of God. We have been given the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's no one that's going to intimidate me from that power. No matter what we've done as a church, no one's going to intimidate me, because God has given us power. Power to witness, power to pray, and power to see people healed, delivered. And there's something new God wants to do. Something new. I'm going to tell you what it is. He told me a few things about it. First of all, he says, with the next move of the Holy Spirit, no one's going to be able to stop it. Not even the church. Imagine. history tells us, because I've been in the charismatic renewal, it was the church and the church leaders that stopped the charismatic renewal. You know why? Because they were not obedient to Paul VI, who told the church leaders to shepherd these people. We were not shepherded. We were considered the fruitcakes of the world. But you know what? I know God works through fruitcakes. I know that. Not because I read a book, but because I am the book, I'll tell you. Even the church will not be able to stop the next move of the Holy Spirit. Imagine. Imagine God has to say a terrible thing like that. What an awful thing that we make gods. And I'm not only talking about the Catholic Church either. I'm talking about all the churches. Because we all want to put a leash around the Holy Spirit. That's what we want to do. I want to put him in the bird cage, you know. We want to bring him out on confirmation and we want to bring him at baptism and at ordination and then put him back in the bird cage. That's not the way the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God says, you know, if that's what you have me for, I'll do it. But you know what? I'm free and I blow where I will. No one's going to stop me. I see the humble heart that bows at the word of God. I see the humble heart that bows at the word of God. And I say, that's the man, that's the woman I choose. You might not choose that man, that woman, but that's the one I choose. Because that man, that woman is a reverent man. A reverent woman. And that man and that woman is ready for what I have, even though he doesn't understand it. I'm going to tell you, if you think you understand everything, you've been deceived by the devil. We can't even understand ourselves. How can we understand God? We don't even understand ourselves. St. Paul says, I don't understand that I do the bad things that I don't want to do and don't do the good things that I want to do. He couldn't understand himself either. You know, we become so, you know, we want to put God in our head. And I'm going to tell you, God doesn't fit in the head. I'm not telling you that we shouldn't use our head. That's not what I'm telling you. God doesn't fit in the head. He fits in the eternal. He fits in the heart, not in the head. The head can theologize all at once after it experiences what's in the heart. Because that's what theology is all about. The articulation of the faith experience of the church. That became my faith experience. When Isaiah went into that temple that day in the 6th chapter, I'm going to tell you, he was a churchman. When he came out of that temple, the faith of Israel was his faith. It's not enough to be a churchman. You know who says that? St. Augustine. St. Augustine says it. Augustine says, not everyone Christ has, the church has. And not everyone the church has, Christ has. The goal of the game is that everyone Christ has, the church has. And everyone the church has, Christ has. That's the goal. But it's not true. Christ doesn't have everyone the church has. And the church doesn't have everyone Christ has. Unfortunately. Unfortunately. That's why we need a move of God in the church. That's why God has to do something that will shake us up to the nth degree that we get on our knees and on our faces and repent. Because there's no move of God apart from repentance. There's no move of God apart from worship. There's no move of God apart from reverence. There's no move of God apart from surrender, surrendering everything. There's no move of God. And it's not according to our likes. It's according to his desires. And that's where we get all messed up. Because we really don't want his desires. Because if we wanted his desires, the church and we would look a lot different today. We want things our way. We are the Burger King generation. And even if we want things our way, God will use us. But I'm going to tell you, he will not use us to the capacity that he wants to. He will not use us to the capacity of his desires. Because we stop him. Because we put limits on him. Because we say, you can't do this and you can do this. Don't tell God what he can do and what he can't do. He's God. When he breathed forth the stars, he didn't ask your permission, and neither did he ask mine. He just did it. He didn't call a meeting and ask the angels, "This is what I think I'm going to do. What do you people think about it?" He said, "This is my desire." He breathed the stars forth. That's what the scripture says. When Pentecost happened, it wasn't because they were having a big church meeting, because they didn't know anything about the next step. They were so confounded and dumbfounded. They had been with Jesus. They had heard his promise. "I go to prepare a place for you. You will do greater things than I. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They're in this upper room, persevering in prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers, persevering in prayer, in one accord, in one heart, in one place. They don't know the next step. And the problem with us is we tell God not only the next step, but the previous step. And you know, God's not playing that game anymore. God's not playing. He will only work through people that will be obedient to his way. He wants it his way. And if we don't do it his way, you know what he'll do? He'll move on. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I can't afford that Jesus and his Holy Spirit move on from me. I can't afford it. Because if he moves on from me, I'm going to tell you, I may as well be dead. He may as well kill me and bring me to himself. He wants to move in us and do the new thing that will perplex even our souls. That we will see things that we've read about in the scripture and greater still. You know why? Because we live in a perverse generation. And God wants to reach this generation. And it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by his Holy Spirit. The Father has a heart for people. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we are living in the third generation that have been unevangelized and unchurched. My generation have had children, their generation, and their generation are now having children. We are living in a pagan America. And if you think you're not, you are completely deluded. This is not a Judeo-Christian country anymore. There is no liberty and justice for all. Maybe there was at one time, but no more. They wanted to pull the plug on that baby. Today they killed 30 children at Planned Parenthood. And where were we? There is not liberty and justice for all, believe me. Auschwitz is right around the corner and nobody cares. We only care with our words. And words don't mean anything to God. He wants lives. He wants committed lives. He wants surrendered lives. He wants people that when he says go, they say yes, sir. And when he says stop, they stop. We can sing about surrender. We can sing about, though none go with me, still I will follow. I'm going to tell you, I know what it is when none go with me. I know that experience. And you can sing about it all you want, but when it happens to you, baby, it's a different story. Though none go with me, I will follow. The cross before me, the world behind me. Oh yeah. He'll have you eat those words if you sing them with your heart. And you know what? Then you're prime for the move of God. Because it makes no difference what people think anymore.
Pat was in the airport talking about me, just coming to the revival. Only God can make a revival. You know, we're just praising God. He can do it if he wants. We can't have a move of God. Only God could do that. The only thing we can do is just praise him, worship him, surrender to him. That's all we can do. Repent. That's all we can do. Only God makes a move of God. Pat was talking to this guy who's coming here, and he said, you know, I've heard about Father Tom, and I even know him. Not everybody likes him. That's right. Not everybody likes him. That's right. Just like Jesus. Nobody liked Jesus either. I'd be very afraid if everybody liked me. I'd be very afraid if everybody liked me. They all saw me saying, I really like that guy. You know, this is what they say about him. Oh, he's really nice. Give me a break. Tell me I'm no good, but don't call me nice. He's really a nice guy. Please. There are enough nice guys in the church. We don't need nice guys anymore. We need men that are going to be fortified with the power of God and love for people. That's what we need. We don't need nice guys. We've got enough of those. Jesus was not a nice guy, I'm going to tell you. He was not a nice guy. When he said to the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, you snakes, you killed the prophets and then whitewashed their tombs. Jesus was not a nice guy when he turned over the tables in the temple of God. Jesus was not a nice guy. But he's wonderful. He's holy. He's merciful. He's all powerful. He's great. He's awesome. But not nice. Nothing nice about Jesus. There's nothing nice about Jesus. When he walked into a room, everybody looked at him. He demanded that everybody would look at him. He had that kind of presence.